and I want to welcome our callers to, or our listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road, right across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'd be glad to assist you in selecting a handgun, giving you an opportunity to take advantage of our Try It Before You Buy It program, where you can shoot one of our in-stock handguns to see if that's the one you really want to buy. We also offer a variety of training courses, and I'm going to start off today's show just by mentioning that we have our award-winning First Shots class scheduled for next Saturday, a week from today, from 4 to 7 p.m. That's 4 to 7 p.m., our First Shots class specifically designed for people who are relatively unfamiliar with firearms, who are interested in getting involved in the shooting sports, or who ultimately may be interested in pursuing their concealed holder's license or getting a gun for personal protection. The First Shots class is a great starting point because it does a number of things. It provides you with a great overview of firearm safety, range safety, gives you the opportunity to go out on the range under the direct supervision of our staff and actually fire a gun, and then you also get the benefit of a free associate membership so that you can take advantage of your opportunities to come to the range and shoot on a recreational basis and try out additional guns, or you can continue on with it with training beyond just the First Shots class. Along those lines, typically what people do after First Shots is they will either want to take a private lesson, which we offer on an appointment only basis to individuals, or they go on and do our basic handgun class. And the basic handgun class is designed specifically for people who want to become more familiar with the use of their semi-automatic pistol or revolver. And our next handgun class will be offered on August 20th, Saturday, August 20th, from 4 to 8 p.m. That's a four-hour class where you come into the range and we give you an opportunity to we spend about an hour in the classroom, hour and a half in the classroom, talking about all the issues concerning loading, charging, handling, getting a good grip, understanding sight alignment and sight picture and trigger control. Then we go out on the range and we give you a chance to do a whole lot of that, of gun handling, getting it from the unloaded position to the loaded position, getting it up to a two-handed point shoulder shooting position and firing accurate shots, and then repeating that process a number of times so that you can get very familiar in a very short period of time with whatever gun you ultimately choose. Also in that class, the nice thing about taking that particular course is we have about 8 or 10 of our most popular firearms out on the range, and we let you go from gun to gun to gun till you find the one that you like, and then you can finish the course shooting the one that you like after you've had an opportunity to try several. And, you know, people come to that class, they might have a preconceived notion about a friend of theirs who has a particular gun, like a Glock or a Springfield or a Smith & Wesson, and they get there and they realize, well, maybe I like the Ruger better, or I like a different model of the Springfield than my friend has. That's because we've advocated for quite a long time, and we're big proponents of the fact that it's better for you to go and shoot a gun and actually feel how it feels in your hand, see how it actually functions, than to go to a gun store and just have it explained and maybe just handle a gun but not have a chance to shoot it. That issue came up yesterday. I had an individual in a private security requalification course who had a Glock 40. It was actually a Glock 27 40 caliber, which is a great gun, but he had such small hands, he had tremendous difficulty. And about halfway through the practice course of fire, he looked back at me and he said, "Man, it feels like this gun's jumping out of my hand." And when I watched him, sure enough, it looked like the gun was almost jumping out of his hand, because he literally could not get his small fingers around the gun and get control of it. So what we did, we switched him in this particular case to the Smith & Wesson M&P, and he was punching the center out of the target and not having any difficulty at all handling the gun. So we can very quickly get you the gun that's right for you and get you comfortable shooting it, get you experience shooting it. But that basic handgun class, which is coming up on August 20th, is they typically fill. So if you're interested in doing that thing, make sure you call down to the range at 293-3914 or visit the website and register online and get registered for that class, because it'll give you an opportunity to do that. I mentioned earlier that our Try It Before You Buy It program, it's an ongoing program where you can come into the range if you've got a particular gun that you're interested in. We have it in stock. You pay $25 $50, and you get to try out the gun. That includes a box of ammunition and the actual gun rental. And it gives you a great opportunity on your own if you don't have the time to sit through an entire class to take care of that. As far as today goes, if anybody wants to get on the airways and wants to discuss any issues, be sure to give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290. I know that there are a number of issues that have been in the news recently, floating around the blogs, and I'm sure people have opinions about some of those, and we certainly welcome your input and give you an opportunity to express your opinion on some of those issues. And over the last several weeks, we've talked about restaurant carry, constitutional carry, a variety of legislative issues that have been introduced, some of which have passed already, and we're waiting for them to actually take effect in September. But whatever your question might be, maybe you have a question about clarification on the current law as it stands now, or what you should do under different circumstances. I know one of the issues, Mark brought it up last week, and I'm sure that some people had an opportunity to see some of the videos, reference to an incident where a concealed holder was stopped by a police officer, and people wonder, what exactly are they supposed to do? What are they supposed to say? How do you go about doing that? What's the best way to make that happen? We'd be more than glad to talk to you about that. As a police officer, I can give you some input from our side, and Mark has some very insightful opinions coming from the civilian community. And again, it's a practical matter, and it's things that sometimes people don't ask because they think, you know, gosh, that's a dumb question. I don't want to sound stupid. Well, don't worry about that. You can rest assured that if you've got a question that's related to concealed carry, someone else probably has the same question, and we'd be more than glad to get that on the air and answer that for you. Let me get back real quick to some additional training course that's coming up this month. On August 15th through the 18th, we'll be offering our weeknight concealed carry class. It runs from 5:30 to 9:30, Monday through Thursday. That's 5:30 to 9:30, Monday through Thursday. And a unique aspect about that class compared to most other concealed carry classes is there's a legal section which will be presented on Wednesday night, whereby you get a very thorough update on all the legal aspects concerning concealed carry, both civil and criminal. In addition, the attorney that does that presentation has added a number of slides to educate you as to the implications or the aspects of the new law, which goes into effect on September 30th, the restaurant carry provisions and some of related issues about carrying a vehicle and those sorts of things. So he's done a good job of making sure that he's kind of getting on the front end of the issue and giving people an overview.
Let me add one thing to that, and that is that he also goes into upcoming legislation, things that haven't yet passed. And so he'll be talking a little bit about HB 256, what has been called constitutional carry, or a complete change and overhaul in the concealed carry law. That also includes eliminating some of the current prohibited places. So he'll discuss that as well as some of the other things that are pending. So that's a great opportunity. If you have not had any legal update at all, if you have maybe you renewed your license after the first 4 years, if you're one of those like me that got your license early in the concealed carry in Ohio, then and it's been 6 or 7 years since you had any sort of legal update on that, you can also get the legal update as a separate class on Wednesday evening, and it's just $49. So we strongly recommend folks that are looking forward to what's going to be changing in the law starting on September 30th, or are just interested in finding out what other things may have changed since they got their license back in 2004, 2005, 2006. It's a great way to get a good, quick update on that.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Mark, because we at Sim Trainer feel that the main aspect of our concealed carry class has to do with the knowledge gained from that class as opposed to shooting on the range. We make the implication, or we at least we encourage people to be proficient in the use of their firearm before they get into that class, because we emphasize, we spend a lot of time in the class talking about what you could, what you should do in given circumstances, from a legal perspective, from a tactical perspective, and we want to bring to a level of conscious awareness some of the serious issues surrounding gun ownership, possessing a gun, carrying a gun for self-defense, and ultimately using a gun for self-defense, because there are some people who just kind of take those issues for granted, and they need to be discussed, because there are a lot of loaded issues that need to be presented ahead of time, and you need to come to some resolve ahead of time before you get yourself in the midst of a critical incident, and then you start thinking about those things. And that's where we spend the majority of our time addressing those issues. Certainly the state has mandated certain things that we have to cover, and we do that, and of course the attorney comes in and talks about all the legal issues, but then we also, on the last evening, for example, we'll talk about practical, tactical considerations. We show you some videos of situations where people who had firearms on the scene, where police officers were present, they're dealt with in a certain way, and things you should do to minimize any potential problems evolving from those kinds of confrontations, because it's better to discuss it up front and to have some issues in your head when you walk out the door at the end of the class than to think about it the first time when you're being stopped a week after you got your concealed holder's license and you're not sure what you should do or you can't remember what you should do. We want you to think about these things ahead of time so you're better prepared. I know Mark has advocated that for quite some time, and it just makes sense. It applies to not only concealed carry, but other aspects of your life, particularly when it comes to dealing with firearms. I tell people that mental preparation for confrontation or mental preparation for getting yourself involved in a situation is probably the most important aspect of any training that you could undergo when you decide to carry a gun and potentially use a gun for self-defense, because you have to have thought through scenarios in your head, what you legally can do and what you personally would do, and then you have to address some of those issues that might come up in your own mind, maybe that's been prompted by things you've heard, things you've seen on television, things you've read about, things other people have talked to you about. Again, we want you to have thought those things through and come to some resolve ahead of time so you don't have to deal with that.
And there's a great program that gives you some opportunity to prepare mentally for the violent confrontation. It's called Bulletproof Your Mind. It's Colonel Dave Grossman, who is a retired Army, and he's written some books. He's in fact one of the foremost authorities on the mental preparation and the thing, what happens when you are prepared and the difference as to what happened when you're not prepared for violent confrontation. When those things occur, the way that you're able to deal with those situations is dependent not only on your physical training, but on your mental preparation. He's going to actually be in the area. If you go out to the Buckeye Firearms Association website, you can register for his seminar. And the early bird registration ended yesterday, but if you're still interested, I know that there's still tickets available. So if you'd like to get in on it, it's a really great opportunity to hear him speak. And he's a dynamic speaker. He's great to listen to, and it's a lot of fun. So go out there. You can click on the Buckeye Firearms Association website. There's a link at the bottom of each page on our website at sim-trainer.com as well. We're going to take our first break for the hour. If you'd like to be on the program, give us a call at 457-1290. That's the number you're into the studio, and Tiz will get your call and put it up on the board for us. Let us know a little bit about what you want to talk about. 457-1290 is the number here into the studio. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery with Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip, and let's go out to the phones. We've been on the air for a little while and haven't talked to anybody yet, so let's do that now. Chris is calling in from Dayton. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How can we help you?
Yes, I was concerned. I had a drug charge about 10 years ago, and I was inquiring on why or what I would be able to do, if anything, of owning or possessing a firearm.
Can you say what the nature of the charges were? Not the charges, but what you were either pled guilty to or convicted of?
It was possession, I believe. I had possession and paraphernalia of marijuana.
Okay,
and
so
I got my act cleaned up, and I was just curious if that would affect anything.
Okay. The first question was it, I assume, a misdemeanor based on your descriptions?
Yes.
Okay. That makes a big difference, because if it was a felony, the only option would be expungement. In other words, you would have to have those, you would have to go through a court proceedings and get those removed, basically sealed, but pulled off your record so that they would not be affecting you, and then you could get your rights restored. That would be the only option. But because it's a misdemeanor, the bill that passed in June and was signed back on the 30th of June goes into effect on the 30th of September. That bill, HB 54, the Restorations of Rights Act, also changes the Ohio law about possession of a firearm with respect to a charge of any sort of a drug charge. Right now, you are completely prohibited from owning, possessing, or carrying a firearm. But on the 30th of September, that will change, and that would only affect a felony drug charge. So the word felony was inserted into the code, and on 30th of September, that takes effect. And so at that point, technically, you would be able to own or possess a firearm. Now, you would not be able to get a license to carry a concealed handgun because that part didn't change. But okay. You would be able to own or possess a firearm. You would be able to, like, for instance, go hunting with use a firearm for hunting and that sort of thing, or for personal protection in your home. There would not be a way for you to carry a loaded firearm in your motor vehicle.
Okay, wonderful. That's good information to know.
Now, if you want to go through that other process, that's still an option for you. And assuming you've gotten your act clean up, as you say, then that would be something that you're not ever going to have a problem with again, in which case you've been 10 years with a clean record, and that is a possibility that you could contact an attorney and have go through the court process to have your record expunged. And at that point, then you would be able to get full restoration, and you would be able to get a license to carry concealed at that time, because an expunged offense does not get considered when the sheriff is making a determination as to whether or not you qualify for a license.
Okay. What about transportation? If I was going hunting and I wanted to carry it in the car just for to go to the hunting range, like the area.
Right.
Anything affect that?
Talking about the 30th of September, when you, under the current law, you would be prohibited from possessing a firearm, but on the 30th of September, that would go away as long as it's a misdemeanor charge. You would be able to transport your firearm in the same way that anybody would transport a firearm unloaded, which is to say that it needs to be in a case that's closed with a zipper, snap, buckle, or lid, something like that. If you have it in a compartment that cannot be reached without exiting the vehicle, then that would be acceptable, and it wouldn't. In that case, it would not need to be in a case. But then the other options would be in a rack or broken open and sealed, and those typically would be for rifles and long guns only. Thanks very much for calling the show. Obviously, we need to take our break at the bottom of the hour. If you'd like to be on the show, give us a call at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number into the studio. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM and News Talk Radio WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to the show, and if you'd like to get on the air today, please give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290. I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery today for Shooting from the Hip, and I wanted to just go over a couple things. I mentioned briefly a report that was published in one of the industry trade magazines last week that the firearms industry has seen remarkable increases in production and in sales of guns over the last several years, and last year was no exception. Interesting to note that Ruger, with their outstanding SR9 regular size and compact, and their LCP and their LCR, surged ahead of Smith & Wesson to take the lead in both production and sales of handguns in 2009-2010, and they said, the article states that they're competing with Smith & Wesson, who made another surge this year in early 2011 in both those areas. But what's interesting to note is that, for an example, Ruger experienced a 55% increase in production, and Smith & Wesson had a 20% increase in production, and several of the other major manufacturers saw similar increases, and that corresponded with reductions in violent crime in the country. And isn't that interesting?
That's amazing.
And we, as Mark and I have cited so many times, it's not the guns, it's bad people that are doing things. And the anti-gun movement is losing momentum almost on a monthly basis. They try to jump on news articles and try to make an argument or pitch an argument. I know there's been some, Mark, you might be able to specify, but I know you sent me an email about either the Coalition Against Gun Violence this last week. They'd sent out some blasts, and they were trying to promote some interest in their particular agenda, and they don't have much to hang their hat on right now, so they're desperately relying on the naivety of some of the people out there, and number two, they're relying on sensationalism in their reporting of incidents.
Yeah, Bloomberg's Mayors Against Illegal Guns sent out a notice trying to get folks to send letters of condolence to the people of Norway after the tragedy that occurred there, where a mentally deranged person starts with blowing up a large quantity of explosives and damages buildings and kills a few people, and then goes out to a youth camp and starts shooting people and killed like 87 kids at that camp, or people at that camp. I don't know that they were all children, but then Bloomberg sends out a notice, an email notice, and yes, I do get their email notices as a matter of understanding your opponents and finding out where they are and what they're trying to do. But they're sending out this saying you ought to send out some kind of letters of condolences to these people. So naturally, I felt an obligation to do exactly as I was asked, and I sent a letter expressing my condolences, and then hope that it would also serve to wake up the good citizens around the globe to the fact that true evil does exist and is willing to terrorize general people for its own ends, and that the best way to stop that is with someone who is willing and equipped to do what is necessary at that moment to stop the threat, and that you are just not going to, by denying the fact that evil occurs and that there are people who are willing to do terrible things, that is not going to stop them from doing it. But you can stop them from doing it without having to put yourself at tremendous risk, which is then exactly what would happen for someone who was going to physically go and stop that person at contact distance. That's a very difficult thing to do with someone who is armed and has a weapon that can operate at a distance. You can't just take them out. Sometimes you can. I mean, we've certainly seen situations where someone who knew about firearms watched someone getting ready to reload and used that moment to attack him, attack the attacker, and then put that person on the ground and subdue them physically. But in a situation like this, it's very difficult for that to be the case. And if you have nobody around who's armed and able to deal with a situation immediately at the point that it occurs, instead of calling and waiting an hour and a half for the police to come and have dozens more get killed as a result, that's something that, unfortunately, Bloomberg and the anti-gun community simply are unwilling to get their brain around. Well, it's not that they can't, it's that they refuse to.
Not only waiting an hour and a half, as was the case there, but even matter of minutes, as has been the case repeatedly in the United States in the numerous active shooter incidents where we've seen innocent citizens gunned down by spontaneous acts of extreme violence. And in the few cases that have been minimized, it's been the immediate heroic acts of ready, willing, and capable citizens rather than police officer response that has brought those situations to a resolution. And we just have to continue to promote that that philosophy. We've got to recognize that police can't be everywhere at all times. And there's some in the community, in the professional community, or in people who have very strong backgrounds in studying violence in this country, including Colonel Grossman, who say that incidents like occurred in Oslo are precursors to what might come here in this country. And that's what the soft intelligence says, that there's no secret about it. They make no secret about it. Terrorists make no secret about it. Militant groups make no secret about the fact that they want to disrupt the way we live. And one of the ways to do that is to engage in situations like that. So we need to be ever vigilant. We need to be increasingly vigilant of the realities and take the precautions that we need to get in place to minimize, if not in some cases eliminate, the tragedies that are going to occur.
We may wish that the truth was different, but that doesn't change the reality. And evil is going to reign when their targets have been disarmed and made vulnerable. And that's one of the things that I put in my letter of condolence to them, that this maybe should be a wake-up call instead of decrying how terrible it was that it occurred. Recognize that is the fact. Recognize that it can occur again. And this time, let's maybe change some of our policy to make sure that when it does occur again, the impact is far less devastating. If you'd like to see the note that I wrote, I sent it and put it up on our Facebook page. You can link to our Facebook page from sim-trainer.com/radio. That's the radio show, and there is a link to our Facebook page there. So I put that letter up, and there's also a link to the Mayors Against Illegal Guns website where they are searching for and requesting those letters, and maybe you have something you'd like to add as well. Jeff, let's go back out to the phones and talk to Victor in Lewisburg, who's calling in with a question. Victor, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
How can we help you today?
Yeah, I have a question for you on the deal being of a CCW owner.
Okay.
Just say that if you have a family member that is a legal mental, I guess how you say it, mental case.
Okay, so they're under a firearms disability due to adjudicated mentally incompetent.
Yeah, firearms mental disability deal. Okay. And you, say, have a family reunion, and you have the individual over.
Okay.
Just say that they steal one of your guns, and you don't know anything about it, naturally, and they commit a crime. How does that fall back on the individual that being kind of an innocent end of that?
Well, first, if you know this situation is going to occur, it's important to make sure that your firearms are secured.
That's
because,
true.
Yeah, that really is due diligence on the part of the firearms owner. It's even possible for you have someone in your family who's a family member that lives in your same residence under disability. It's still possible for you to own firearms. They just have to be completely unavailable to the person who's under disability. So that means it needs to be in a safe or locked up in some other way where they do not have access to a key or combination. And that keeps them from having access. So I think the same thing applies pretty much. If this person is in your place and they get access, the problem becomes their actions. Obviously, it's not something that you took action to do to allow them to do that. But if you know that they have this kind of a disability, then it really, if you're going to invite someone over, you probably need to put those attractive nuisances in a place that they're not going to be available.
Okay. Now another question. Say that if you're at a if you know they talk about this straw gun or
straw purchase.
Yes. And you're at a gun show.
For the people who are listening, a straw purchase is when someone who is not under a firearms disability purchases a firearm using their own credentials, but their intent is to give it to someone who is unable to purchase a firearm. So that's kind of the definition of a straw purchase for those who aren't aware of it. Go ahead.
Well, the one thing I've heard, and tell me if it's true or false, say that if I go to a gun show or to a store and say that, and you mainly hear this at gun shows, say that I purchase a firearm. It's maybe a private deal.
Okay.
From an individual there saying that, you know, want to sell, or be whatever may, I bought it. And just say I had an individual come to me and say that they offered me more money for this firearm. And I'm thinking, okay, I bought this private. What's the big deal? I'm going to make $100. But yet, you know what I'm saying? I ask them for their ID for being an Ohio resident. Now, I guess the myth behind this is that I've heard that, you know, undercover agents will sometimes do that. And that is not considered then a private deal unless you go from there and take it home and say, well, a year from now, I don't want the firearm.
Well,
and then, you know, you can take it back and do a sell that way. But if I'm inside the store and I sell it that way, is that not considered then a dealer?
The bottom line is it would be a private sale. Now, the issue there, and you brought it up, you got to exercise good judgment, and you have no way of knowing if an individual is under disability, as we as dealers do, because we run the 4473 NICS check, and we get information instantly back from the FBI indicating whether or not a person can or cannot possess a firearm. You don't have that luxury, and the only requirement you have, and I think it's a serious requirement, and I want you to take it seriously, is to exercise due diligence and be reasonable in your decisions. Obviously, if somebody walks up to you and they're going to give you an exorbitantly greater amount of money than you paid for the gun, you need to start, those should send, you know, bells and whistles should go off, and you need to start querying that individual a little bit more more thoroughly.
A red flag.
Yeah. But as far as you're in a simple situation where that occurs, you have, there'd be no legal criminal liability where you make a good faith decision to sell a firearm to another individual.
We need to take our last break of the hour, so if you'd like to get on the show, give us a call at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and with Jeff Pedro for Shooting From the Hip. Let me encourage you to stay tuned at the top of the hour for There Is a Season with Bob Wolf and Gloria Shanahan. It's a great program about the seasons in your life and getting ready for those and helping you as either an older parent or as an adult child and working with older parents. It's a program that speaks directly to where I am because I'm in that situation. My mother is in declining mental conditions in Arizona, and she's there's a lot of the things that they cover on that program that relate directly to me, and I think that you may find, regardless of which side of that divide you find yourself on, you may find some excellent information in their program. That's There Is a Season at the top of the hour. Let's go right back out to the phones and talk to Josh, who's calling on a cell phone. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Here is I'm actually taking a conceal and carry weapon course with my girlfriend's uncle, so I'm getting the course for free. But I'm really looking, possibly picking up what you guys would recommend for the best starter handgun available out there.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your experience with a firearm.
Okay.
What have you shot before? What sorts of, whether handguns or long guns or anything else?
They've mostly been 24, 10, and 12 gauges. Most of them have been doing with firearms, mostly for hunting purposes.
Okay.
You know, we're down in Hocking. In the Hocking Hills region is where I'll be taking the conceal and carry course. That's where her family's at.
Okay.
Really looking for something that's, you know, good user ability to it there. You know, just really looking for ease of use, ease of clean, stuff like that.
Okay. There are many firearms that meet all of those qualifications, and as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, the main thing is to get some good training and get some opportunity to shoot them. You can hold a firearm in your hand and kind of to tell whether or not you don't like it, but it's really the best way for you to tell if the gun works for you is to actually shoot the firearm. And unfortunately, most gun stores don't have a place that you can try a gun before you actually purchase the gun, and once you've purchased it and fired it, it's now a used gun, so you're not going to get the same amount back on it. You can't, and it's like driving a car off the lot. It's no longer a new item, and so you can't get new prices for it. So that's one of the reasons why we have the program that we call Try It Before You Buy It, because it allows people to try the guns that we have available for rent for a fairly low price, $25, including a box of ammunition, and gives you an opportunity to try a couple of guns. If you really haven't shot handguns that much before and you want to find out a little bit more about doing that, get some good fundamentals, because learning how to do it correctly is by far the most important thing. We had, for example, last week we had a basic handgun class, and we had a bunch of folks come through that class. Most of them had never fired a personal protection caliber handgun before, and by the time they left, they were competent in several different ones and knew which one was right for them. So really, you know, I don't know where you're close. If you want to come to our place and do that, that's great. I mean, we'd be more than happy to have you. But most any range that rents firearms may have some sort of a program. And again, I would most strongly encourage you to try out a gun before you make a commitment to purchase it.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate you guys' advice.
Well, thanks very much for calling the show. We're getting real close to the end of the hour, so if you have some other information or some other questions that you have for us, feel free to send us an email at radio@sim-trainer.com. You can also go out to our website at sim-trainer.com/radio, and there's links there to all the previous shows so that you can listen to earlier shows if you'd like to do that. We also have our fan page for Facebook. You can click on that and become a fan of the show. And we also have our Shooting From the Hip podcast. So if you would like to download the shows and listen to them at your leisure, you can do that from our page at sim-trainer.com/radio as well. Thanks very much for being a part of the show. Join us again next week at 2 o'clock for Shooting From the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.